All right, welcome back to this special edition of Study Hall. For our second segment, we will be doing the Nick Spencer Rapid Fire Question Round. We polled questions from all over the internet, and we're going to see how much Nick is willing to answer based on them. So, Nick, you ready?
Ready. Let's go.
I'll start with the three questions I have from the guys at Multiversity, just because those are probably the easiest ones.
Okay.
First question is, Brandon asks, can Maggot be added into Ultimate X-Men?
You just never know. Maggot's a character that I've looked at and seen some potential in. There's a whole host of mutants. You know, people have made so much of Ultimatum and so much of Who's Dead. There's still a lot of potential characters out there. And then I consider it very much a personal responsibility, having grown up on Claremont X-Men, to create as many new characters of my own as I can get away with. Because I think that is a big part of the joy of reading X-Men books, and a big part of what has always made them special is the constant introduction of new ideas and new characters. So, yeah, we'll see.
Okay, the second
question. Not ruling out Maggot.
You should never rule out Maggot. That's like a character that should come in, like, at the... the way that Schism should end is Maggot should just show up and save the day and everyone will be happy.
Yeah.
And then still decide to split up.
Yeah.
Crit asks, when do we appear in the comic?
Ooh. You know, this is something that I very much leave to Joe. And I'm certain that he'll find a very special opportunity for you guys.
He'll probably kill us.
Almost definitely. But there's really no higher on.
The last question from the Multiversity staff is from Patrick and Josh. They've given me instructions of how to ask, but I'm going to ignore it and just ask their question.
Oh, okay.
They ask, what are you wearing?
Jesus. Oh, we reached the creepy part of the internet.
You should see how they said I need to ask the question.
Fellas, it's so boring. I actually got dressed for this. Like, it's just not even worth mentioning. It's you know, like on an off day, you could have caught me doing this in my underpants, but just no luck.
Oh,
no luck.
Next time, we'll do another chat at the end of the next arc. So we'll see.
There we go.
We'll see what we can arrange for then.
Yeah, I'll make sure to at least be shirtless for it.
Moving on to the Tumblr question roundup, Ryan Coons asks, if you could have lunch with any person living or dead, what would you order?
A lot of thought. Yeah, we went into these questions.
I tried. Originally, I was like, oh, people will probably ask cool questions about Morning Glories.
Nope.
And then when I realized I didn't say ask questions about Morning Glories.
Yeah. What would I order? You know, it's something vegetarian so as not to offend, I guess. Yeah, hard to say.
Well, if you were having lunch with, like, Genghis Khan, you probably wouldn't
care. Right. I might upset his sensibilities. So there's really no way to win here. No matter what, you're almost certainly looking at some kind of cultural faux pas.
Well,
then in that case, fuck it. I'll just have a cheeseburger.
All right, that works. James IV asks, if you had to build a team of five previously existing characters from any comic universe, who would be on that team?
Five characters, any universe.
Any universe. Mm. I assume this doesn't necessarily have to mean superheroes. So if you want, like, Catchu from Strangers in Paradise, you can take her.
Be like the League of Mediocre Gentlemen. okay, let's see. Let's go with Casanova Quinn.
Oh, nice pick.
Then let's add Morgan Freeman's character from Seven.
No, it has to be any comic universe.
Oh, any comic universe. Oh, God. Seven never got a comic adaptation, did it?
There was a Seven comic from IDW, but I think it dealt with the people who were murdered.
It just dealt with, like, the... Yeah. Didn't want to buy the face likeness rights.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of doors closed. That should make this easier. You know what? Let's put Hellboy on because, you know, like, it's probably the only opportunity I'll get. Let's see. Anybody from anywhere? Let's do. Good God, this is going to be a lot of dead air for you.
That's okay.
Okay, fuck it. We'll do Casanova Quinn. We'll do Hellboy. Then we'll do the monkey from Transhuman. Then we'll throw in Cosmic Boy and Lightning Lad.
All right. He didn't say you have to explain it, so.
That's yeah. There we go. Let's do that.
All right.
And the thing is, Cosmic Boy and Lightning Lad totally make out. Like they just nonstop
Through the whole book.
through the whole book.
Even
The
like when
monkey
they
just watches, just sad. Just brokenhearted the whole goddamn time.
All right. That's the League of Mediocre Gentlemen for you.
There you go.
So,
It's
next
awful.
question.
It's the worst showing on a question I've ever
Our next question comes from a Redditor. It is, I am not going to pronounce this correctly. It's Blinds OC Nerd, I think.
heard. Okay.
And Blinds OC Nerd would like an update on Infinite Vacation.
Issue 3 is done and off to the printers, and is coming out in October. 4 is scripted, and Christian is making quick time. So, we're very hopeful that we can have the book wrapped up by the end of the year, which would be 5 issues in like 11 months, which is not fantastic by any means, but we don't think quite rises to the level of Scandalous. I apologize for how far off track it went, but the reality is I had a lot of work hit very suddenly and had to make some tough decisions in terms of how to budget my time, and my feeling was that I would rather push it back to now when I had more time to devote to each script than to maybe rush it earlier in the year. I really want this book to be the best that it can be, and I want to make sure that I get the story right. And there's a lot that goes into making this book, and so yeah, it's a thing where I just made a decision that it would be better to wait a little bit and come back to it, and that's exactly what we've done. And now we're rolling. Now we're going pretty fast. So like I said, hopefully by the end of the year, the whole thing will be done, and we'll have a nice collection early next year. And the book will have a nice long life on the shelves.
Clay Inferno asks, how do you handle writing so many books? Are you far ahead?
Well, I think that I almost just answered that. No, I'm not very far ahead, and that is sort of what I'm always dealing with, is because so many of my assignments started at essentially the same time. I mean, what really happened to me is Morning Glories came out, and in sort of the month before and the 2 months after Morning Glories came out, the phone just rang off the hook nonstop with offers. And I'm a fairly fast writer and could turn around scripts pretty quickly. So that only encouraged editors to just keep offering. And then, like a lot of writers, you find out exactly what your limit is. And, you know, I can script, you know, somewhere in the range of 6 to 8 scripts a month, which is a very hefty workload by almost anybody's standards. You know, but there were months where the schedule called for 10, 11, sometimes 12 scripts in a month. And when you get to that kind of point, you know, things have to give. And what I've managed to do now is I made some tough decisions right around San Diego this year to sort of get the schedule back on track and get things down to a slightly more realistic workload. And now I have a really nice opportunity by the end of the year to be very far ahead. Most of the commitments that I made last year have either just ended or ending here in the next month or so. I'm writing a lot of last issues of things, which is a kind of a weird experience in and of itself, because I'm saying goodbye to a lot of stories that I've been working on for a year plus. So yeah, it's at a funny point where, you know, by December, January, I'll have pared down to literally by December, January, I'm down to just a few books, and that will give me the opportunity to get way ahead on those. You know, if I maintain my current pace, I'm in a very good place by the end of the winter to be disgustingly ahead. And then, I'll pick up a lot of new stuff. And try to phase it a little bit better, but I'm very excited about some of the opportunities that are coming up for next year, and there's certainly some really cool stuff on the creator-owned side that I'm starting to turn the wheels on, and you know, teams are being put together, and it's a very, very exciting time. It's scary in some ways because so much of what I've been working on is ending. And, you know, there's literally a point, you know, where I'm down to just a couple of books for a little bit. But hopefully what it will all enable me to do is I'll still be putting out a lot of books, but I'll also be way ahead, which is pretty much the dream scenario for any writer and might actually happen, which is pretty incredible.
Awesome. Moving on to Twitter now. We have Oh Hey It's Trace. I think that's how it's supposed to be announced. Oh Hey It's Trace, or it could be Trey. They ask, what is up with Desmond time traveling, and how did 815 end up on that island?
What is up with Desmond's time travel? They explain that very clearly. Yeah. You know, I find that in general, a lot of these questions that people ask about that show and say that they never got answers on, they gave very, very full and detailed answers on. And it's not my job. watch it like 7 times like I have. You start to pick these things up.
Well, the 815 one is definitely the easier question because sure. I think at the end of season 2, Desmond says, I crashed your plane.
Yeah, right. Your two questions are actually fairly interconnected.
Yeah. Hey, I said I would ask every question. I didn't want to.
Yep.
It's okay. Anybody.
I like all stuff. I have a nice Lost-related surprise coming very soon. Can't say anything yet, but have a nice little Lost connected dream come true for me.
So. Am I allowed to guess?
Nope.
No, okay.
Oh.
No guessing. Okay. next question. Troy 3825. Well, all right, it's not exactly a question. I kind of just copied and pasted it and then wrote Troy 3825 asks. But this is the statement. Make sure I already feel bad.
It's always good when there's statements.
Make sure the Morning Glories ending will be nothing like the cop-out bullshit Lost ending.
Oh, let's just delete that.
All right.
Just delete that. I like the Lost ending a lot.
Me too.
I'm fan of the Lost ending. I felt very satisfied and was really impressed by it. And I think it's much, much, much better than what a lot of fans would have given us, is what I'll say. Because if you really think that you wanted 2 hours of some dude sitting down and explaining everything to you point by point, you know, that is probably not what you would have most enjoyed. The ending had a lot of heart, a lot of feeling, completed a lot of great character journeys, and I felt very, very pleased.
Did you ever watch...
But I still hope you like the Morning Glories ending.
Did you ever watch a Battlestar
Galactica? I did.
That is probably the only show like that that had lots and lots of mysteries that ran through the entire program. That's the only show I can think of that I didn't like the ending. Like,
see, I even like that one. Really? So you guys are in trouble.
Oh, no.
You guys are in big trouble. No, I did. I really like the Battlestar ending. I think that I actually really like how they handled that mystery. I really liked it. There were things that I probably would have done differently, but that's true of pretty much anything. But overall, I left that pretty satisfied. I'm actually on a BSG rewatch right now.
Yeah,
and you know, a lot of it holds up really well. I know that somebody out there is going to listen to this and then they're going to be like, man, the fact that he likes those endings just, you know, gives me no hope that this is going to pay off. And, you know, I mean, what I can say is that I think the Morning Glories ending is pretty fundamentally different, from either of those. You know, I think that it's going to be its own thing. I have some very defined ideas about what it's going to look like. And, you know, the thing is, I came up with that ending before I think either of those shows had ended. Certainly, but well before Lost had ended. And so, you know, it was really interesting to watch the Lost ending, kind of knowing where I was at that point in my own story and just sort of, you know, wanting to see how would the choices that they had made. So yeah, It's a very different animal altogether, and I think that you know, I'm certain at the end of it, I don't have to think about this very much, but I know that it will become an all-consuming thing as I near it. There is no way to write an ending for these kinds of things that satisfies everyone. There's just no way. In fact, in a story like this, just by its own virtue, the ending is sort of a self-defeating thing. You know, and it's because, you know, so much of what you've done is about building mystery. You know, so I think about that all the time, and I like to think that I'm generally at peace with it, that, you know, I'm sure that the ending will have its fans and will have its detractors.
You watched the original Prisoner, right?
Yep.
How do you feel about that ending?
That's my favorite.
Because that's certainly the most obtuse, I think, out of all of them.
Yeah, that's actually my favorite of those sort of, you know, those kinds of endings, I guess you could say. That's my pretty much my favorite hour of television ever made, and I think it's just brilliant, but it is nonsense writing. And, you know, that's not going to be how Morning Glories ends. I'll go ahead and say that. But that's not to rule out that I never do an ending like that, because I would love to. It's one of the hardest things imaginable to pull off. And, you know, that's viewed as like classic television now, and is viewed as pretty much the high water point for the series, except for maybe Chimes of Big Ben in the first episode. But, you know, in my opinion, Fallout exceeds both those. But I think that... you know, I think that it would be a very difficult thing for us to do with this story, but you know, it's a pretty phenomenal achievement in and of itself.
My favorite episode of Prisoner, I don't remember which title it is, but it's the one where number 6 gets off the island.
Yeah, it's Chimes of Big Ben.
Oh, that's Chimes of Big Ben?
Chimes of Big Ben is the one in which he gets off and then spoilers, by the way. If you've
never seen The Prisoner, right?
The Prisoner, but It's where he thinks that he's left the island. Where he thinks that he's left the village and is catches the chimes being wrong and realizes that it's all a big hoax.
That by far was like my favorite
Yeah,
episode of the whole
Chimes of Big
series.
Ben is pretty much most
Yeah.
people's favorites. I think Fallout's better, but I think Chimes of Big Ben is the best of the conventional episodes.
That's fair.
Also
And
gets a nice shout out in Runaways in the first issue.
Hmm?
It also gets a nice shout out in Runaways in the first issue.
Does it? Is it like name dropped or something? I haven't read Runaways in a while.
Alex gives Nico his and Nico returns Alex's prisoner DVDs.
Oh,
So
okay.
she loves Chimes of Big Ben, which is just
Ah.
classic Brian K. Vaughan stuff, and I aim to learn and rip that off as much as I can.
Well, I was gonna say, worst comes to worse. You get to issue number 100 and you go online and people are upset and crying, and then you announce that all along there was a special 100.1 issue or something, or a 101 issue, where it's just a dude sitting in a chair explaining things.
Would no, all for it, all for it. That's they did that for Lost. They did that. If you get the Blu-ray set, they give you the couple extra movies with just the cleverly made exposition.
Yes, with Ben. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And they answer
Just
some
to
of their
get some
like,
peace.
yeah, I loved
You're
that.
out their voicemail box, basically. Who can blame them?
All right, Johnny Liar, ITTC asks about the Morning Glory's yearbook.
A little bit off
So,
track.
yeah.
Going back to sort of those tough decisions that got made earlier in the year. Basically, the Morning Glory's yearbook, my idea for it was this. We're going to do a short sequential segment with Rodine that recaps the first year. And then it's going to include all the extras from the hardcover.
Oh, okay.
The way that it was originally solicited, it would actually come out before the hardcover, which didn't really make a lot of sense. So it will happen. Rodine's dying to do it. I think it'll be worth it. But really the idea was, I didn't want the regular print readers or the trade readers or the digital readers to feel screwed over, when we released a hardcover with a ton of extras. And so I wanted to put this out so that there was a way for all of you to get that stuff, if you don't feel like going and buying the hardcover, which, by the way, I certainly hope you do. But if you don't, here's how you can get the extras. It'll come out after the hardcover. It'll be a nice little supplemental treat, but it's not anything that you need to have, for your enjoyment of the overall story. It's just a nice little supplemental thing to say thank you to the monthly readers and to the trade readers.
The next person, we have three questions from him. I think it's a him. The Twitter name is Up Gunta, and I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Good guy. I see some of these guys on my Twitter regularly.
His first question is the Ike scene from issue 12 happening at the same time as issue 11?
Very good question. Keep digging there. That's a good thing to that's a good thing to ask. But unfortunately, I can't answer. But there are certainly things in 11 and 12 that seem to sync up. So.
The next question is, compared to your created characters, how much freedom do you have with the established characters you work with?
Certainly not as much. I think anybody that would say that you have as much freedom as with the characters that you own would be lying. It's genuinely impossible. That said, I haven't run into too many problems in that regard. you know, and when I do, the reasons for it are usually made pretty clear. I think the only time that I really came to a full-out impasse on something like that was on Supergirl. And obviously, I only lasted for 17 pages of that. So, you know, when you're doing work for hire, when you're at Marvel or you're at DC, you don't own those characters. And you are there to tell the best stories you can, but there's a framework there, and there's a concern for the characters lasting beyond your stay. So you obviously don't have as much of a say, but with that in mind, for the most part, I found that good editors are very understanding and accommodating. I thankfully haven't had too many nightmares in that regard.
The last question is, what did you see when your eyes were open?
A lot of angry reviewers. So that is the big question, right?
It is. Earlier, I put that question to you to explain it, and you said no.
Yeah. No.
The next question we have is Sad Ahmed Zero.
Okay.
They asked, are there any plans to release Morning Glories Volumes 1 and 2 collected digitally?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing firmed up, but I'd like to. So stay tuned. I would like to. I like the digital trade format, I would like to do that. So we've just done a bunch of things digitally, so I doubt you'll see it for a little while. And I'd certainly like for the second trade to be out for a little while with retailers so that we're not undercutting them or anything. But down the road, sure. Like I said, it's a good idea.
Our next question comes from, I think I might just have to pronounce letters for this one. It's Lethy CQ.
Okay. These are fantastic. You just brought me questions from spam bots. is his avatar an egg?
Possibly. I'd have to double check, but it's a possibility.
That is what the thing is in the Twitter default avatar, right? It's an egg.
Yeah. They Lethy CQ asks, how does your exclusive contract with Marvel impact your work at Image, particularly with Morning Glories with Morning Glories and the book you're doing with Robert Kirkman especially?
Marvel is very accommodating in my contract, and I have a lot of room to do creator-owned work and also to finish up Thunder Agents and to do a little bit on Robert Kirkman's new book, which is Thief of Thieves. So I'm doing the first 6 issues of Thief of Thieves. There's a writer's room approach to that book, which means different writers are going to take on different arcs. And I had the honor and responsibility of starting things off. So I do 6 issues of that. It comes out next year. I'm really proud of it. I think people are really going to like the book. A few people have seen the advanced PDF of the first issue because we're working way, way ahead. The way that the production schedule on this thing has worked is different from anything that I've done before, and I really like it. It's going to be a really, really cool book. It was a fun experience to work on, and Robert was a blast to work with. And Sean Martinbro, the artist, is phenomenal. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Going to be pretty cool.
Our next question comes from Speedster Site.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, and I can already know that you're probably not going to answer this one. Will we see Ike romantically involved with any of the other main glories?
Maybe. I'm writing a cast of teenagers. Somebody's gonna make out with somebody. So we'll see.
The very last question that we have is from Matt is Not a Robot.
Okay. Interestingly enough.
Yeah, I don't. The name seems familiar, but whatever.
Yeah.
The question is, in issue one, the orientation video,
yeah,
the old man hand thing that turned into a doll. What is that?
Symbolism. that's another no comment one, but you know, I think that there's stuff in that orientation video that was seeding for stuff to come down the road, and I think some of that has been made apparent and more will as we go on.
I think I have definitely picked up on some of the orientation video. I feel like I have, just from doing all these study halls and comparing things and comparing scenes. But that still eludes me. And every time I reread it, I'm always confused. I mean,
well, that was
this
the goal,
Twitter
you know?
User is.
Yeah, clearly. It's just so weird that you guys are on the same page like that.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyways, that wraps it up for this edition of Study Hall. Nick, thank you for taking time to chat with us,
of course. And, guys, I do want to say, you know, like man, I want to tell you and Crit as well, you know, like it's been such a blast reading the column every month. It's really a highlight of an issue coming out for me. Like I was saying earlier, this whole community that's sprung up around the book and all the discussion that's come up around it, is just my favorite thing about writing it, I think. And, I feel very lucky to have all of it and I really appreciate what you guys do. And, I hope you guys will see us through all the way to the end, you know, it's been really cool reading your thoughts and your theories and, yeah, I hope to see a lot more of it.
I think unless the site gets shut down for whatever reason, we'll stick with it.
Awesome.